Okay, we are back with our third edition of RNL Talks. My name is Joe Matthews, and I am a member of Renewed Life Church and an instructor up at Phoenix Christian. And today I'm with Kevin Dancy, the one and the only. He is in charge of the men's ministry over at Renew Life Church. He also is a Head Start. What is it that you do at Head Start?
Head Start caseworker.
He's a caseworker over at Head Start. And most importantly, he's the head instructor for the Nurturing Fathers class.
That's right.
And I want to welcome you today.
Thank you so much, Joe. I'm also with the Man Cave Fatherhood Program, and that's how we roll out the Nurturing Fathers program through that. That's how I got started.
Okay.
And so I think my top title that I enjoy is Man of God, of course.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Man of God. I love that title. Father, grandfather, and encourager of men, I would like to say.
I like all those titles. I really do. You know, because, you know, that kind of brings us to our topic today. But before we do, I want to start off with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and just I want to thank you for Kevin joining us, and just I want you to guide our conversation today so that we can represent you the best we can in this topic that we're going to be speaking about. I also just thank you for bringing us, you know, air into our lungs today, and I just want to say, you know, thank you for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Joe.
No problem.
If you want, I can talk a little bit about the Nurturing Fathers program.
Well, we're going to get there.
Okay. I'll let you lead this.
The first thing I wanted to really kind of talk about is you were talking about all the things that you really are kind of proud of, and you mentioned being a father, being a grandfather, and you know, that is important. It really is. But I think one of the hardest things nowadays is being a man, especially a Christian man,
yes,
in the world today, because a lot of times, a lot of people don't see how they work together, but being around you, I know it does. What does it take to be a Christian man today?
You know, I think just in taking direction from our pastor, Eli, I think the biggest thing that he's shown me in the 8 years I've known him, 9 years I've known him, is humility. Humility is the top quality that you have to have as a leader of men, as leader of your household. And so I think that's the biggest thing, the strongest quality that you need to have. But in today's society, there's a lack of it, you know,
yeah.
And I think it's happened over the years, the past 20, 30 years, breakdown of the family dynamic. So you have less fathers that are available, you know, and so you have a lot of women that are leading these homes, and they're raising young men that are lacking the strong male qualities, fathering qualities, nurturing fathering qualities, to be a strong man.
I have to agree. I mean, so for myself, that is definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
Lived in a house that it was a single mom. I had two sisters. And so learning how to be a male was more of learning how to be a male according to a female.
Right.
In their eyes. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a while before I learned the proper way to shave. You know, things really like that that you just don't get when you have a male around. And then the males that I did have around, my stepdad, he died a week before my grandfather died. Mm-hmm. And then my actual dad died about 6 months later. And that was all when I was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of, I guess, confusion, anger, distrust.
You just hit all of them on the head, all the nails on the head.
Yeah.
The confusion, the anger, the mistrust. You know, you have a lot of young men, young teenagers, mm-hmm. that's festering in them. You know, they're longing for their father, and without having that, and without having knowledge of their loving Father in heaven, you have young men that are very volatile. And that's why you see so many of them, if they don't have even just a high school education, they're ending up in prison.
Yeah, and that's a tough one, you know, because I think that especially nowadays you have a lot of people that have gone down that road because when they have reached out, because I mean, as just humans, we are built to seek that love. And if we're not seeking it to up above, what we have the tendency is to seek it of the people around us.
Yes.
When the parents aren't there, usually it goes to the people down the street who are looking to use and abuse you.
That's right.
And that's where I really kind of, you know, I feel that the roles that you do are so important, you know, because I was blessed. I really was that, you know, I did have awareness of the Lord, but I wasn't in church all the time.
Right.
Now, do you think that is a huge difference? Because I was just speaking to someone, and they were telling me how much of a faith they have, and they felt that church wasn't important because wherever they went, God was with them, which I'm not going to deny.
They said the faith wasn't important?
Well, their faith, you know, was in them.
Mm.
You know, wherever they went, God was with me, so I don't need to have a church. Now, can you say that men, especially nowadays, would you say that's healthy for their Christian faith?
As far as taking on, assuming that faith is within them,
mm-hmm.
and that being linked or connected to a church is not very important.
Yes.
I would say no.
Okay.
I would go the opposite of that. I think it's the strongest connection that you can have. You know, I grew up in the church, strong Christian family, accepted the Lord when I was a teenager. And, you know, I had my grandfather around, and he was a very strong influence on my life, and my brother as well. But we came from a single-parent household. Our mother raised us. And, you know, as I left high school, I fell into the world and worldly habits. And it was very difficult because, you know, like we talked about, these boys, that are confused and have anger and mistrust. Satan will, he will prey on those people. He will prey on those men, okay, mm-hmm. that have that. And so even though I was rooted in the Lord, went to church every Sunday, was active in, you know, the teen ministry and things like that, once I left the nest, once I left high school, once I was away from my mother and my family, it was deep waters. Okay, so even though I had those roots, it was like, here we are, we're out in the ocean, you know, in this little boat, and my father's not here, my grandfather passes away, and here I am just going off my own intuition and my own knowledge of who God is, okay? And that's without being in the Word regularly, you know? As I'm out there, am I going to church like I used to? No, I'm not. You know, I'm hanging out with friends at, you know, Sundays, let's go party, okay? And so that's the mindset of the world. That's what our young men are engaging in on weekends and well, daily, but for some. But on the weekends, they're tapping into all that worldliness that Satan wants them to, okay? So I would say for them, and even for the ones that, like myself, you know, believer, but out in the world, you have to have a base. Mm-hmm. You have to surround yourself with people that are like-minded, that are rooted in Christ, that can say, you know what, young man, that's not the way to go. And the reason why that's not the way to go is because biblically, the Lord is instructing us to live our lives this way.
No, I definitely agree. And I definitely love the way that you brought in the Word, because every first and third Saturday at 8 o'clock, you lead a group called Men for Others. Yes. And it's a Bible study that, you know, I admit I'm part of, and I really appreciate it all the time, because even though, yes, I'm in the Word daily and everything, it is completely different when you do this study with other men.
It totally is, yes.
And I guess my question to you right now is, how did that come about? What made you say, hey, I really need to come out here and lead this Bible study with men every other week?
Okay. That happened in 2019.
Okay.
But before it actually happened, I'm sorry. we have been in talks, Pastor Eli and myself, about what we needed to do to rescue the men in our community, the men in the Peoria area. How could we be a light to men that are in the world, in darkness, and in need of guidance? Okay. So we had those talks over a few months, and in the May of 2019, we had our first meeting, Men for Others. Mm-hmm. But before that, just even the name, Men for Others, you know, we're looking at the Word, and, you know, in the book of Jude, and we're looking in the book of John, 1 John. And that's even what our lesson is now, so we'll talk about that if you want. But we decided that was the perfect name, because it's men that are for other people, that are for women, that are for families, that are for children, that takes humility, looking outside of yourself, being selfless. And so we had our first meeting, and I think the first meeting we might have had 12 to 15 men. Okay. And we met at our brother's house in Avondale. And from that, we continued to meet regularly. Whether the group was small or large, these men knew that they had a place that they could go to. every Saturday. I believe it was every other Saturday we moved it to. But they knew that they could count on men coming together, men that loved the Lord. It was a safe place where men could pray together and get into understanding God's word and his plan for their lives.
Yeah, and I love that. And like you just mentioned, right now we are in a study of 1 John. And, you know, the emphasis lately has been what it means to be a child of God.
Yes.
And for me, especially, I have to say from my point, it's really been helpful just because a lot of times you go through life and you don't feel worthy, you know, and I mean, myself in particular, that has been a struggle of mine in a lot of different ways, that I question the worthiness of the blessings that I've been receiving, and I've been very blessed lately. Tell me a little bit more about how you came about to this study.
Again, this was under the direction of our awesome pastor. And he said, you know, we need to have men understand what it means to be a child of God. Okay? All of the people of the earth are creations of God, but not all of them can call themselves children of God. Okay? There's a very strong distinction in the word between who you are, who you think you are, and who you are, who your identity is as a child of God. Okay? And so it was his under his direction, we began this study. And just last week, and I was talking with a brother this morning about it, last week, well, let me go 2 weeks back, when you said being called a child of God. So understanding as children of God, our identity changes once we become children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have his imprint upon us. It's just like someone being adopted into a family, okay? So everything changes. You know, I give that example of the Different Strokes TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go from rags to riches into this family. So it's the same thing with us in Christ. You know, we can have a joyfulness about us because now we've been adopted once we've accepted his Holy Spirit, once we've accepted him into our lives,
mm-hmm.
okay? So now that we're with him, we have to walk differently. We have to talk differently. We speak differently. We have abundance of joy within us, and it's just tapping into that, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard in our daily walk to remember to tap into that source that the Holy Spirit is in us. And so let me just take my lunch break. Let me just stop for a second and just pray. Mm-hmm. Let me tap into that resource, okay? And so like you said, with these young men today, they're dealing with a lack of father. There's no father there, so there's confusion. There's anger. There's mistrust. And the other word that you said is that you feel that you're not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I see it in these, just I mean, just walking down the street, you'll see men that have their head down. And I'm talking about men that are 17, 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Head down. Unfortunately, dirty, living on the streets, and that's not the way that God wants them to live. He has so much more available to them.
Yeah, and I definitely, you know, agree with that. And, you know, one of the things I also appreciate, you know, with the men's Bible study is iron sharpens iron.
Yes, it does.
And lot of times we're afraid of that blade coming down because it looks like it's going to hurt. But when it's taking off those impurities,
mm-hmm.
when it's cutting, and sometimes the cut is deep.
Yep, to the bone.
Mm-hmm. And you don't really, I guess, once you have declared yourself as a child of God, you almost desire that cut.
Yes.
But yes. Before that, it hurts.
Yeah. You're not looking forward to that. There's going to be some nicks, some cuts, some bruises. But once you have humility and you're like, you know what? I've tried this. I've tried drugs. I've tried alcohol. I've reached out to friends. I've done all these different things, and I still don't have the answer. And you go, and you finally, that humility, you surrender it. You surrender yourself, and you say, Lord, I need you. Mm-hmm. Okay? Once you're able to do that, and you become a child of God, you're welcomed into his family. That was the first part of John. I mean, we're just into chapter 3, mm-hmm. You know? So that was the first part of chapter, the first verses of chapter 3. Then last week, we got into being a man of God. And do you, as a child of God, as a man of God, do you have a love for the Lord, what he's called you to do? And do you have a love for his people and his church? Mm-hmm. You know, and so for these young people that have never even, they don't have a Bible, they've never even opened a Bible, they haven't attended church in years, they have no concept of what that truly means.
No, you're right. And, you know, it's, I love the way you just keep on leading me into different questions here. because one of the things that, you know, I was speaking to someone about before, because they were saying, you know, you come across these different individuals that had that moment where they feel blessed, and they will give the credit of knowing God. Mm-hmm. But when you look at their definition of being a male, okay, a lot of it is still that Old Testament mentality of where the aggressiveness, the warrior mentality sort of thing, is still really out there. And I was speaking to someone the other day where they kind of felt that it was okay to intimidate. However, when we look at what happened in the New Testament, when Jesus came and died for our sins and asked us to love, and we're supposed to nurture.
Yes.
Why do you think it's so hard for men to see that side now?
Well, I think it's been that way for a long time. Yeah. You know, even for me, having my grandfather, who was a believer, there was a side to him that was very tough. You know, he didn't give a lot of hugs, you know, didn't kiss you on the forehead or anything like that. And so I think that these men, their masculinity, their identity comes from what they see on TV, from social media, from men on the street, pimps, you know, men that, you know, will bring you into a gang and show you this is the way that a man is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be tough. You're supposed to be strong. You're supposed to intimidate people. And so being around that, being a young man around that, and again, no knowledge of who Christ is, no church connection, no family members that stress the importance of prayer, okay? So these men are out on the streets. They're around Satan's messengers. Mm-hmm. And that fear, that confusion, that anger, that mistrust that you talked about, and that sense of unworthiness, then they get preyed upon. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, they feel that the only way that they can achieve, the only way that their message can get across to their girlfriend, to their wife, to their children, is by being aggressive. I'm going to show you who I am. You're going to respect me. You're going to do as I tell you. And it's because I said so.
Yes. And, you know, being in education, as we both are, we see the effects on the kids. We see the effects on the mothers. And I know for my part, it's taken me a while to understand that when I see those, I just want to, you know, hug everyone and try to save them myself, but I understand that's not possible. I can't save. I know he can, but I can't do it. However, what we have tried to start with through RNL is a lot of classes that help the fathers, you know, understand. And that's where Nurturing Fathers comes in.
Yes, yes, definitely.
And so how important do you think this class is?
I think it's very important. You know, like we said, you know, number one is that you have a relationship with Christ. You know who you are. You have an identity in him. You have a belief, and you begin to have a faith in what you're reading in the Word. You have a connection to a church family, loving church family. And you begin to understand your role as a male. And if you are taking this as an older man, this class, you begin to understand what the barriers were mm-hmm. as a young man that prevented you from being the father that you're just starting to become through this class. You know, you're attending it now. So mm-hmm. there's things that you're learning that get you to stop and think, okay, when I was younger, this is what I learned from my father. This is what I liked about him. This is what I didn't like about him. And what parts of those do I still have issues with today, unresolved issues with today, as I parent my own child?
Yeah. No, and it really has been enlightening, you know, to me in so many different ways. I was really blessed when I became a dad, and, you know, my biggest, I guess you can call it a goal, was to be everything to my son that I never had. You know, my father was not actively in my life from the age of three. And so I constantly try to not mimic, you know, his behavior, but, and this is by the grace of God, I was in education for so long that I learned different things. And one of the things I wanted to make sure my son kept in mind is, do not fear me. I love you no matter what. And it's going to be always and forever. And we say that to each other all the time. Yeah. What is, I guess, why is that so hard for a lot of people to accept?
I think like you said, you know, you have these men that are dealing with these issues. And, you know, trying to work a job that maybe they don't want to work, but yet they feel forced to because they have children. Are they married? You know, if they're unmarried, you know, are they in the same household living in sin? Okay. And with that, I'm sorry, your question. I was,
you know, you were going over it. Why is it so difficult for fathers to understand that nurturing part?
Okay. Yeah. So they're going through all these different motions. Mm-hmm. And then, the enemy is constantly around them. And so nurturing their child ends up being placed on the back burner.
Yeah.
Okay. It ends up being low on the totem pole as far as, what their responsibilities are, And I kind of went through that, as a young father. I knew that I was going to be there for my daughter. I had my daughter when I was 19. And so I knew no matter what, I was going to be there. I was going to be that provider and be that strong man that she needed. But at the same time, I wasn't nurturing in a way that men should be. Okay. And that has to be taught. That has to be modeled. Okay. And that's why you said when we come together as men, as Christian men, we're able to share things that happened to us in our past, but not only how we learned from them, but how we learned from them because of our relationship with Christ, because we were rooted in the Lord. And it was a transition period for us. It didn't happen overnight.
No.
It's still a work in progress for us today.
Yeah. I mean, both of us know that.
Yes. Yeah. And so I think that's the problem, is that they get pulled in so many different directions. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you read off some of the titles that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you the things that mean the most to me. If you were to pose that same question to these young men, what would that look like? What would their answers look like? What is most important to you? Okay? As a father, what's most important to you? Is it just providing? Is it let me see how many Instagram followers I can get? I want to try and get money as a YouTuber. I want to do this. I want to achieve all these different things. But what do you want to happen for your child long term? That's usually going to be low on the list.
Which is so unfortunate. I mean, I do understand what you're saying there. I really feel that, when I did have my son, that was such a blessing because it opened my eyes to so many different things. I was doing a lot of things in the community. I was helping a lot of kids and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. However, when it came down to it, it wasn't my priority. My priority was, what am I doing after work?
Yeah.
Who am I going to hang out with?
Yes.
What are we going to go do this and go do that? Mm-hmm. Where's the party?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember honest. One of my goals when, in my 20s, I wanted to hit the three biggest parties in the world. I wanted to go to El Carnival. I wanted to go to Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to hit all the parties.
That's it. There's nothing that's changed with that mindset in these young men. The thing is, it's gotten worse. And it happens at a younger age. And that's why it's so critical that we reach these young boys and these young men, because their influence right now, from rappers to entertainers, football players, and not a knock against football players because there's Christian football players.
Oh, yeah, I know a lot of them.
But you don't see that on TV. You see the flashiness. Let's celebrate the plays. Let's celebrate the flamboyant person, not who's a believer in Christ,
And I'm glad you did mention that, because what a lot of people don't know is that, I used to work in the locker room with the Cardinals. I used to have a lot of conversations with a lot of the players. And there was a lot of times when I was able to share our beliefs. Beliefs in Jesus. I mean, there was one coach, he's in Tampa Bay right now, and man, he just used to come up with the best Christian t-shirts I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I used to love it because I used to, each one he used to come up, I used to try to talk with him about that. Ron Wolfley, who's on the radio and, you know, he does the telecast and the radio broadcast.
Cardinals fullback.
I
wasn't a Cardinal fan, but, you know.
Ron
was a tough dude.
He still is. I love it. But, you know, he will be one of the first ones to tell you, you know, his belief kept him going.
Mm.
And a couple, well, it was about 5-6 years ago, he had, you know, tragedy in his family. And I remember coming up to him that next week and, you know, we spoke and he was saying that, you know, his faith kept him going.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, not a lot of people talk about that because when you look at football players, it's all about the savagery.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even remember when I went, when I was playing, I wanted to see how hard I could hit somebody.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like if I hit you 3 times in a row, you're not going to want to play no more.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite player growing up was Ronnie Lott. And just watching some of his old interviews, and he was like, I want to see some snot bubbles. You know, I was like, I'm knocking you silly, you know. So.
Yes, I remember when Steve Atwater and Christian Okoye hit each other. And that was a sound that I had never heard before. It was like, oh, my.
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Yeah. But like you said, you know, that's what gets glorified. Mm-hmm. You know, these professional athletes, these entertainers. And unfortunately, that's what they get drawn to.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Satan wants them to see. Go for that. Be that. Let that be your only ambition. Let that be your identity. You know, you ask these, yeah, not just football, but basketball too, you know, all of them, all the pro sports. And they leave the game and they don't know what to do. They're like, I've always known football. That's all I've known my whole life. I'm a football player. And it's like, no, you have a relationship with the Lord that's right there for you. All you have to do is just open up to him. Humble yourself, open yourself up to him, and say, Lord, I want you to lead my life. I want to know what my purpose is. And that's the other thing that I didn't mention earlier. These young men do not understand their purpose for being on this planet.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was going to be the next thing. Because especially when you watch social media, you hear a lot of these stars and things like that.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, that really kind of make it a conquest on how many children you are putting out there. However, they don't take responsibility for those children.
No.
No. You know, they enjoy making them.
Uh-huh.
But there is no responsibility. In fact, we had a player on the Cardinals. I think back then it was 10 kids. But I know since then the number did go up. And, you know, it was kind of a running joke in the locker room. I don't really, I see it in a different way, but I guess that's kind of why, you know, nurturing fathers to me is so important, because it does help us understand the responsibility of being a father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, a lot of them, they're wanting to accept the responsibility. Okay, we're created in the image of Christ,
mm-hmm.
all right, in God's image. And so they have an understanding of responsibility, but they don't understand godly responsibility.
Okay.
And just like we talked about earlier, there's a difference from being a creation of God and being called a child of God. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's, hey, I'm a man who takes care of my kids, and I don't read to them, but I make sure that the bills are paid. I make sure there's food on the table. There's a sense of responsibility there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not godly responsibility.
No.
Okay? Godly responsibility is I submit to the Lord. And in my household, we pray. We believe in prayer. We live by prayer. We live by the word of God. And that's what you're modeling for Marcus. That's what you provide for your son. But not enough young men have that. You know, when we talk about the glitz and what looks, you know, important to these young men, it's because that's what's celebrated. And their purpose is not rooted in any of that. Yeah. Okay? It's leading them to hell. And they don't recognize it. They don't know that. I take care of my kids financially, and that's all that needs to happen. You know, I don't understand that God has placed these children in my care, that they're his, that I have a responsibility to nurture them. I have a responsibility to show them what it means to live in Christ. And so that's why I say it's so important that they have that relationship early on. They know where the church is. They know where they know who the pastor is, and they look up to him. You know, there should be young men, young boys that are coming in, and they see this man that preaches from the word of God, and I want that information. I want that type of relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I want that type of love for myself, and I want to make sure that my children have that love. When they go out into the world, they have that love. They have that godly confidence that, you know what? I don't need those things that everyone else is involved in and everyone else has been sucked into. I'm okay over here. My parents have told me that I'm loved. I know that the Lord loves me. So there's nothing that you can say or tell me that is going to sway me to go that direction, because I want my children to know the same thing. I want God to be pleased. I want my family to be blessed. And so that's the difference. I think that these young men don't understand that. It's a blessing to have children.
Yes.
You've been blessed by God. It doesn't matter if your child has one arm, okay? It's God's child that he blessed and he put in your arms to raise and to nurture. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to step up and be that kind of father?
I think that's a challenge for a lot of young men right now, you know, because, in a, like you say, a lot of it is becoming humble. Now, especially in society today, you know, in our last podcast, we talked to a couple of coaches, and they were talking about, you know, how athletes are gaining this much money in high school and everything else. In the first podcast, we spoke about, you know, that Christian education and somehow and sometimes how the parents have to sacrifice to make things happen.
Yes.
Nowadays, you are so glorified in yourself, you don't want to make that sacrifice.
Yeah.
But I guess I this is my question, because for me, in raising Marcus, I know that he's going to do a lot greater things than I am ever thinking about. Where did that blindness start to happen from fathers?
As far as understanding that it is a sacrifice?
Well, it is a sacrifice, then the generation after you is supposed to be better. It doesn't, I mean, it seems like right now, a lot of fathers, they're supposed to be better than their children. Instead of understanding, you're supposed to teach them how to be better than you are.
Yeah, yeah. I would say you started to see an increase in the later 70s through the 80s and 90s, you know, and then into the 2000s. But I think that's where it first started, in the late 70s, is where you started to see the breakdown of the family dynamic. Mm-hmm. Okay? Once you start to see that, once you start to see the drugs came into the communities and you saw more men going to prison, that's what birthed the generation into the 2000s, into the 90s, into the late 90s and into the 2000s of young men, young babies being born without fathers. And it's not a knock against what the women were doing to raise the children, but we parent differently. We were created differently. And so as great a job as some of the women were doing, the homes had already been split.
Yes.
The damage had already been done. And Satan was just lurking just to pick up those young boys that didn't have fathers.
Now, I love the way you said that, because one of the things that really, I had to say, it hurts my heart is when, especially young men, know that they are not living correctly, but they expect you to accept that.
Yeah.
Because yeah. they yeah. say that's the way God made me. Mm-hmm.
But that's what the world is telling all these kids now. All these kids are being told that you do what you want to do. It's about your own individuality. It doesn't matter. As long as you're not hurting anyone else, it's okay. And you and I came from a generation where there was right and wrong. Mm-hmm. It was very clear to you. Mm-hmm. And by force, it was made clear to you if you didn't pay attention. You know, you might have gotten a beating, a whooping.
The switch.
And so there's not that discipline in the. That was the other thing. There wasn't that discipline in the homes. Mm-hmm. You take dad out, and mom's discipline, as firm as she might think it is, it probably wasn't. Well, we know that it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a male's discipline.
No.
Okay. And so even if you have mom yelling and screaming at you, and even if she had the switch, it's not discipline from a male, and that's just different.
Yes.
Okay. And in that, again, you had these young fathers, if they were in the home, okay, that if they didn't have that godly understanding of responsibility, okay, I'm stressed out, came home from work, and I need a beer. You know, I need to relax. I need to go out here and smoke for a while. I need to do these things to calm down. I'm paying the bills. That's all that's important. You know, the kids go to school, they're getting fed, the end. I'm tired, I'm going to sleep. You know, and a lot of fathers felt that way. And we know what that leads to. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm drinking more. Now I'm an alcoholic. Unfortunately, I'm lashing out at my wife, or I'm lashing out at these children because I didn't have the nurturing early on as a child. Mm-hmm. Now I'm older. I don't have clear understanding of what my responsibility is. I have the outside influence of Satan and the world affecting me. And now my child is coming up seeing this from me and is confused about their role in this world. What do I do? I go home. My dad lashes out at me. I don't feel a connection to my mother. And me as a young boy, as a young man, the community is pulling me more and more. You're not happy at home, come be with us. Come drink with us. You know, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that, you know, the peer pressure, it's twice as bad as when we were young.
Oh, I agree.
You know, it hits these kids at a younger age. I mean, we didn't have to deal with meth, you know. We didn't deal with weed laced with fentanyl. I mean, it's insane. And then some of the things that these kids are inhaling just to get high, just to feel better for a little bit because they're not being nurtured at home.
Very true. Because, you know, as we said before, we are made to love.
Yes.
And if that love isn't going towards the Lord, we are finding other things to love.
To love, yes.
you know, and...
And people that will love us because we love these things,
mm-hmm.
you know? Oh, I love pornography. Oh, well, I love pornography too. Mm-hmm. Come hang out with us, you know, while we're going over here to the club. And so it ends up being generational. And so that's the thing that, you know, we're trying to do at our church with our men is that we're trying to send these men out that can grab these young brothers and say, you know what? That's not the way. Let me show you. Let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be that light. I spoke with a young man yesterday, and he's homeless right now. He's living out of his car, and he has his young son with him. And they had a hotel. He paid for a hotel. But this young man has recently out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to do the right thing. And so he has temporary custody of that child. So he's a struggling father,
mm-hmm.
you know. But they had the hotel room. And because he was yelling at his son very loud, you know, and I would love to get him into our Nurturing Fathers class.
Mm-hmm.
He's yelling at the child loudly because the child had a mess on himself. And people from the hotel heard him. They started to question him about it. And instead of thinking, you know what, I'm sorry, I was a little loud. You know, come on, son, let's just go back in here and deal with this. He went the other way.
Oh.
Who are you to question me? This is my son, and I don't have to put up with this. And he left the hotel, got his son in the car, and they're just driving around, you know? So it's a mindset, like we said, that happens early on.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes more and more destructive as you get older, more and more hopeless, more of that sense of unworthiness. There's that aggression that we talked about, confusion, mistrust.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it play out with that young man, you know? Come on, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his son, they just left.
And
we're going to stay in the car tonight. Do you know what I mean? The mentality.
And you know, that's... I am appreciative of our pastor because teaching us to become humble, teaching us to have that heart to try to reach these men in the community because I see it also.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I have spoken, you know, a lot of times and you know, it's one of those things where I can't wait to get her onto our podcast. Her name's Rebecca. She has a nonprofit called Her Hope. And she helps a lot of mothers that, you know, are struggling a lot of times due to domestic violence. Mm-hmm. So she offers, you know, transitional housing. She answers, you know, classes on helping them with finances and things like that. I really would love to, you know, see the other side of, the, you know, the men that are abusing some of these women and things like that, to see them come to the class, this hear what makes them so angry.
Yeah.
You know, because like you said, there is a root to there that a lot of them just don't want to even approach, but I think a half of them don't even see a different option because you have to have a marriage license to get married, driver's license to drive, but no one has to know how to parent.
Parent, yeah.
Yep. You know, and that's why I think that, you know, your Nurturing Fathers class is so important. Now, that one's going to start back up in September?
That one's going to start back up in September. Mm-hmm. Right now, we meet weekly, and we've been doing 6:30, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And I actually wanted just to talk a little bit about kind of how that came about as far as the Nurturing Fathers program.
Mm-hmm.
So my exposure to it, I worked through the fatherhood program called Man Cave, mm-hmm. through City of Phoenix. And so with that, we were already going out into the community and doing events with fathers that wanted to come in with their children. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we would do that. We would do that once a month. Okay. Then we move it to twice a month. And so we wanted to educate these men, and began to go through All Pro Dads. They had a curriculum that we would use with them, and they could tap into it because, you know, it was football. Mm-hmm. You know, ex-football players that were fathers and wanted to give back to young men, mm-hmm. teach young men. And so we would use that with these men, like I said, twice a month. And from that, we wanted to go even deeper. We wanted to get down to the root, to the core, to see what is harming these men, these young boys. Mm-hmm. Where is that anger that we talked about? Where is that coming from? The mistrust, the sense of unworthiness. Where is all that coming from? Where's the root? So in doing that, we dived into the Nurturing Fathers program. Okay, we were trained by that. I'm a trainer now. I'm looking to be a master trainer. So I'm going to go through some of that teaching to become a master trainer. But in the training for that, it was started in 1998. Okay. In Florida, the Centerhood for... I'm so sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Centerhood for Growth and Development. Mm-hmm. Center for Growth and Development. So back in about 1998, okay? And the purpose of that was to cultivate and support the attributes, the skills that these men need to nurture their children, okay? Mm-hmm. That was the whole purpose. And that's why we continue on with what we're teaching, okay? We want to cultivate those skills. We want to nurture these young men. We want to see, hey, you know what? That little boy within you, what was it that started him off on a path that was self-destructive?
Yeah, that's a great question.
What was it? And so, you know, I was just, from the very first meeting, we introduced ourselves, okay? First, we laid on the ground rules, okay? This is a safe place. This is a place where you can share what you want to share, mm-hmm. but we're going to be respectful of other people's opinions, their backgrounds, you know, their circumstance. We're not going to look at you a different way because of your culture, you know, the way that you were raised. And so we do that. We have our introductions, get an understanding of who we are, but then we tap into what is it that we believe and where did that start from? What was the root? You know, what do you believe it means to be a young man? How was your father? What did he teach you about being a man? If he wasn't there, who told you? Was it uncles? Was it your mother? Was it what you saw on TV? Was it the men in the neighborhood? Who told you, hey, young boy, this is what it means to be a man?
Great question. That's a great question, because I think where all this is so different, because up until a point, I would have to say my grandfather had a huge influence on me. He actually grew up on the reservation in Oklahoma, and, you know, he taught me a lot about, you know, a lot of things that I really enjoy to this day, including gardening. I mean, you saw my old garden and everything. I love the garden.
I think it was impressive.
You know, but, you know, I learned that from him, even though, you know, he wasn't in my life the whole time. That influence, though, that imprint that he had on us was forever.
Yes.
And I wish that more fathers, grandfathers would understand that imprint, that love that they show when they're young.
Yes.
Goes so far.
That's what it takes, you know? And I'm so glad that you said that because my grandfather was my biggest influence and he's the smartest man I've ever known. I love him so much and wish he was still here. To have that impact on a young boy, it's beyond measure the impact that it has and the love that that young boy is going to have going forward and becomes a man and seeks out other relationships, you know, has relationships with other men and can say, you know what? I know a real man who showed me love when I was a boy. And here I am as a man. I can articulate it. I can show it to you if you're willing to be humble and listen. Mm-hmm. Okay? And for me, when I made my transition from living in the world, our pastor, Eli, was a man that was able to imprint that on me. Mm-hmm. The seriousness of who I am as a man of God, what godly responsibility looks like, godly humility looks like. He made that imprint on me, and I've been able to go out into the communities and share that with other young men. I've been able to share that with men that come into the Nurturing Fathers program. I've been able to share that with men that come into our Men for Others program. And it's the only way to please the Father.
Yeah, and I got to give it to you because, you know, for me, all my focus is on the children's ministry, things like that. I think I got it easy. You took the hard part, and you're taking these men that already is set in stone. Man. They think they know it all. You know, for
I
me.
I got to slap a few of them around.
Yeah, I don't have Lord. To do that.
You know, but I say the impact that Eli's had on my life. But even greater than that is my relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And just by having that humility, being in the quiet, alone, in your room by yourself, saying, Lord, I give up. I need you. I want your love. I want this love that everyone's telling me about. I want this joy that everyone at church is singing about. And so give that to me, Lord. You know, I'll give my life to you. Show me the way. And then just be patient, step back, and let him work.
And you know, I think that's awesome that you're, like, sharing that because you know, I talk to a lot of men that are in their struggles. Mm-hmm. For me, it's very, like you said, black and white. I know what's right, what's wrong. I can tell you the scripture that you need to go to. You need to read this. You need to do that. In fact, you know, the kids and I are going over apologetics, and it's really trying to give them the answers, you know, where to find the answers whenever circumstances comes. Mm-hmm. But with men, a lot of times they will ask that question, but they don't like that answer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was just going to go there. I'm in my feelings. And we have so many men that come in angry and in their own feelings. About how they feel someone wronged them. Mm-hmm. And not understanding that that's part of life. Yeah. That's always going to be there. There's always going to be someone that's going to wrong you, that's going to step on your toes, that's going to shame you, that's going to put you down. And so what do you do to combat that? Mm-hmm. You know? That's going to happen on a daily basis. So what are you doing early in the morning when you get up out of bed to fight the enemy? You know that we're making it more aware to you that these are satanic attacks, okay? Mm-hmm. So that you're aware. When you walk out the door, Satan's attacking me. The world, I'm out in the world now. Things are going to happen. Okay, I'm not in the comfort of my own home anymore. Okay, but when I am, and I wake up in the morning, how am I starting my day? Am I rooted in Christ? Do I have on that full armor of protection? You know, I used to joke with a young friend of mine. I won't say his name, but I used to mentor him. And I would tell him, I'm like, there you are going out into the world butt naked again, you know, because you're calling me early in the morning with some junk and you have not armored yourself up.
And, you know, that's going to be another podcast for another time. We're going to have to go through Ephesians and talk about that armor of God.
Yes.
Because I do feel that, you know, people do need to, especially men, need to learn how each part of the armor is necessary every single day.
It is. It is. And that's the thing that we talk about, you know, our feelings and how that that is a huge barrier to male nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You cannot effectively parent your son. You cannot effectively lead your household and be that man for your wife if you have not humbled yourself and said, Lord, give me instructions for today. Mm-hmm. Let me be used for your purposes right now. And who do you need me to call and pray for? Use me now, Lord.
And I think that's so important because especially nowadays, okay, and, you know, I can speak from this from experience. When you have a lot of single mother households
mm-hmm.
where, and I have to be careful in saying this, but they feel that, you know, they're so strong that they don't need the male there.
Yes.
And when they're raising a son, because I've been told this myself, you have no weakness. You're not supposed to have that weakness. But you're supposed to be more like them. And they're teaching you how to be the male in a feminine way.
Right.
You tend to find that those women really, they don't respect men, and therefore.
And we're talking about women of the world, right?
Women of the world.
Okay, good.
And they tend to. And I don't think they're aware of this a lot of times. They're teaching their sons not to be feel worthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, when you're teaching your class and you're teaching them this nurturing fathers, I think it really helps, especially, you know, on my part because, you know, I tended to find partners that resembled a lot of what my mom was like.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the relationships weren't really working because they didn't respect me.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why we have to have God lead us.
We do. We do. And again, you know, having that strong male influence early on, so that you know, okay, that I need to set goals,
mm-hmm.
okay? I need to set godly goals, okay? I need to set household goals,
mm-hmm.
financial goals. You know, I need to set all of these goals because I'm the man. I'm the spiritual leader of the home. And so men that don't have that, you know. Well, let's go back to what you're talking about with the women. Okay. I'm raising a young son as a woman. Okay. And am I going by biblical principles when I'm raising him? Okay. Am I going by biblical principles when I'm raising him? Okay. If I'm not, if I'm just living in the world and I'm just going off of what I think this young boy needs to know. He needs to be tough. I'm gonna put him in sports, and he'll be around some football players. He'll be around some coaches, and that'll be enough, you know. And then he comes back home to me, and I just yell and scream at him as a form of discipline. And not saying that all women do that. I'm just saying women that are in the worldly thinking, is that I'm sitting back on my phone. He's over there playing, and he's fine. He's not being disruptive. But what are you teaching him about how he can be a man? Is this coming from the Bible, or is this just what your girlfriends are telling you? This is how I raised my boys. This is how you need to raise your boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, again, it takes humility on the woman's part to say, you know what? I don't really understand what I'm doing. I want to be better as a parent. I'm trying to parent this young boy on my own, and I need God.
Yes.
I need God. I need to have my son involved in the church. I need some church members to come pray and love on this young man and have him around men in the church that are established, that have gone through some battles. And here they are, they've humbled themselves, they have their whole families there at church with them, and these men will show me and show my son the proper way to live his life.
And you know what, in the children's ministry, those are the children that I have consistently.
Thank you for what you do.
You know, because it's amazing on when the parent decides they need God and put God first, and to have that child there every single week.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how those kids are the ones that are successful in school.
Yes.
The ones that, you know, do not have those discipline problems. Mm-hmm. You're not hearing this about them and that about them. And even more, I guess for me, I get to give it to the kids that want to come despite their parents.
Yes.
You know, the ones that keep on saying, please, can I go? Please, can I go? And I, you know, my prayer is that the parents start to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they start coming in. But I know we can keep talking forever. But
I was just going to say one more thing. It's just that, you know, one of the topics that we have in the Nurturing Fathers class is that the power to meet my own needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's something that, you know, men and women struggle with. But as far as men, you know, I feel hurt. I'm feeling confusion. I'm feeling, like you said, mistrust. I'm feeling unworthy. And how do I meet the needs that I have? How do I get rid of this feeling? You know, how do I learn to express happiness? How do I learn to express joy? And so that's why it's so important that we as men are able to imprint that on these young men.
Yes.
You know, I was raised in the church. I was one of those teens in church. Okay? And I know how great it was, the experiences that I had. And once I left and went out into the world, I got blown all over the place. And this is someone I was rooted in church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So for the ones that have not even experienced that as a youth, look what they're dealing with.
Okay.
They have no one to pray to. They don't even know how to pray. I mean, so many times I've just sat with young men. How do you pray? What do you say when you pray? And just getting them to understand it's very simple. Okay? Mm-hmm. Very simple. You just give thanks. You give thanks first. You acknowledge who he is as Lord. Okay? You state your sins. Do you know what sin is? And that's the other thing. Like you said, we could talk about it forever. These young men not even understanding when something is wrong and when something is sin.
And a lot of that is because of the way they were raised. Because, you know, I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he was so proud of his son because his son's a pastor at a church. despite the fact that he grew up in a house that meth ruled. You know, and a lot of times when the kids are being raised in those type of situations, they don't see it as a sin. Yeah. Because the parents don't want to look as sinful.
Nope. They don't want to be told that that's wrong, that that's dirty, that's you shouldn't be doing that. They don't want to hear that. Don't tell me what I'm doing is wrong. Mm-hmm. That my lifestyle is sinful. Don't tell me that it's leading me to hell. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why I said these young men, they don't understand what sin is. So maybe you have to explain to them what sin is, mm-hmm. very basically. You know, explain to them how to pray, very basically. You know, and how they can meet their needs through Christ, that he's going to provide everything that you need, everything. I've pursued money. I've pursued women. I've pursued all these different things. And so it's like, there was no answer.
No.
There was no answer. There was no hope in that. I'm sitting here looking around for answers. And so the only way that I was able to come back to that was through humility.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. Yeah. Okay, well, we are going to have a part two.
Okay.
We'll have a part
two. We'll do that.
You know, because there's so much more that can still
go on. We could be here all afternoon, brother.
We got so much more. And, you know, next time I want to have a couple of other people in here. I want to definitely bring the pastor in.
Okay.
And then we're going to have Joey back. Joey just wasn't able to make it today. Okay.
And just one more plug just for our class. Mm-hmm. This is a 13-week class that we do. It's 12 weeks, and then the 13th week is the graduation.
Yeah, we're up to 12, week 12 now.
Yeah, we're here.
Week 12.
So, but the thing that brings me joy is just to be able to see that whether you're a young father or an old father, mm-hmm. you're able to see that my father or lack of a father made a difference in how I grew up, how I parent my child. And by completing this, I feel more confident as a father. I understand what younger fathers are going through, and I want to be able to go out and share this. I know that if I see a young man that's struggling, just like the one that I was telling you about yesterday, you know, at the hotel, I was able to help him through some things. I invited him to church tomorrow. I hope that he comes. Sure. But I told him, I said, even if you don't make it to church tomorrow on Sunday, I'm here for you. You know, and that's one of the great things that our pastor shared with us, or with me years ago, is he said, we're doing life together.
Yeah.
And you need young men that can hear that.
And it means so much.
It does.
Even in our nurturing fathers class, you know, my uncle-in-law's in there, my father-in-law's in there. Yeah. And it really, it helps me having them there because I know they've seen my personal struggles. I know that when I am testifying in front of them, mm-hmm. they are able to help guide me and support me in that, because a lot of times you're not comfortable in saying those things in front of just strangers. But that's when right. you have that strong person like our pastor, mm-hmm. that's willing to say, I am in this walk with you.
That's right.
I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you. Mm-hmm. No matter what you say, I'm going to accept you.
That's so powerful. Yeah. It's so powerful. And I wish, you know, I hope that young men will hear this, mm-hmm. And be encouraged that there's hope for you.
Yeah.
And it's not in the way that you're living right now. Yeah. This is not going to benefit you long term. It's not going to benefit your children long term. You want them to receive blessing.
Exactly.
You want blessing over your household, over your marriage, over your finances, over just your daily habits, overcoming the struggles that you've been having, beating addiction. Mm-hmm. You want God's favor. You want him to change those things. So are you willing to humble yourself to make that happen?
Yep. Okay, well, Kevin, thank you so much.
Thank you, brother, for having me on.
No problem. We're going to do it again.
All right.
God bless you.
Thank you.